This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York. What's up, Rich? Yeah. Season finale.
Big one. Yeah, we got through another season. So I know everybody's going to miss us so much, but we've got to have the time off. Got to do our lives and do other things. So what do we got today on the podcast, Brian?
Yeah, so we haven't asked the guys. We figured it's a good, great question. Mm-hmm. And we figured let's bring a guest on because it's a little beyond our scope, but I think it's a great question and a great topic to cover with people. So we figured we'll bring on a guest. Before we introduce our guest and play the question, I'm going to say one final word from our friends for this season from HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography businesses. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com for more. Again, hdphotohub.com. So let's introduce our guest who's been on the show a bunch of times already at this point. I don't even know. And we've done webinars together. Matt Stallone out of Toronto. What's going on, Matt? Welcome.
Hey, guys. How you been? I've been seeing your Shooting Spaces podcast on YouTube and listening to them. And I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. You're one of the few that have watched on YouTube. That's great. I appreciate that.
It's great. I like to see the smiles when the questions come up.
Sure.
And you are the obvious choice for us when you answer the question that we've got today. So, Brian, why don't you play the question?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. My name is James Yardley, and I live in New York City. My question is, do you teach your clients how to best use your photography to strengthen their own brand on social media? If so, what types of things do you teach them? And what would be the best way to offer them some advice if you see them using your images poorly? Looking forward to your thoughts. Thank you.
Ooh.
So for full disclosure, nice as you two know, James is one of my assistants who I work with fairly often in New York. And he actually asked me this question on a shoot. And I said, how about you submit and ask the guys and we'll cover it. Part of the reason was because I didn't know the best information to tell him right then and there, and it will make a good episode. So that being said, thanks, James, for the question. Always appreciated. And I think there's two different things to cover. And one, the latter part of that question, how do you handle misuse? Is how this all came about because I had a couple of jobs that we worked together and some of my clients started misusing the photos. And then, you know, James took it one step further, asking about the best way to educate clients on using your photos properly. So I know you know, the obvious answer is MLS and Zillow because that's how everyone's going to get their stuff up. But the question is, once you provide content and, you know, Matt, we thought you were the perfect person because you provide such a variety of different content, including your clients in a lot of your content. And you basically help them market their businesses all over the place. So we figured let's bring you on, get into a discussion. Maybe you can give some tips to people. I can tell you, you know, for me personally, I don't really give that much advice as to how they should properly use the content. But mm-hmm. when they call me, the conversation I have, and I don't know if it's the same for you, Rich, is based on their needs. I tell them the best content they should purchase from me, the best services based on what they're looking for. So I guess it's sort of the same thing based on what they're looking to do, except flipped in reverse. You provide the content. Now, how do I use that? So, let's get into it. I mean,
this is a great question. And I must say it is, it's something that for the past few years has been interesting because especially with a lot of these, Instagram or TikTok and a lot of these other apps that are out there, they have all these beauty filters and all this other stuff that they want to put on. They have filters that just, how can I say this without being kind of fancy. Let's just say they want to be fancy. And it's like, I give you, or we provide you as photographers, we provide you with a finished product. That's what you hire us for. And we give you content that is finished to, you know, a standard that we feel is kind of what is more presentable or what should be used. And then you have these agents that decide, well, you know, I want to add an Arizona filter. And all of a sudden, everything is kind of like orange. And all of a sudden, there's like a lot of vignetting on it, or there's a lot of just a lot of different stuff. So how can I give you an answer? Basically, just message them and say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Stop. Well, so just for clarification, you know, we're starting with the latter part of that question. And just to give you some backstory, essentially what happened was, I had a client that James was assisting me on, and it was an interior design shoot. And one of my clients took the picture that I shot, cropped it really awfully, and then brightened the exposure maybe one or two stops and said, I love this white and airy look, which was, you know, if you know my work, it's the opposite of that. You know, it's kind of like dark and moody and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I sent it to James, and he, you know, I said, look what she did to this. And he's like, how do you handle that? And I'm like, I don't know. And it's actually happened a few times. You know, another recent interior design shoot, she posted a picture all blue. And I said, you know, what happened here? And she's like, well, I like the cooler look. And I was like, well, this isn't a cooler look. This is blue. You know, the whites are blue.
Yeah.
You know, and it's happened a few times before. And I'm always nervous how to approach it, because I don't want to insult a client. I don't want to risk the potential of losing a client. When this happened to me the first time about a year and a half ago, and it was, you know, a client that's been working with me for a while, I just said, you know, personally, I don't like the look of what you did, but if you're going to do it, just please, because she tagged me. I was like, just please don't tag me, because this is not the work I want, you know, going out representing me and having my name attached to. And absolutely, if you're going to do it, like, I'm not going to fight or argue with you over it. It's your account, but I just don't want that associated with me. And I don't want people thinking that's the work I deliver. Yeah. And you know, and it was just that I basically approached it the same way, you know, 3 weeks ago when that second client posted that image all blue. Yeah. So
it's a tough one, right, Brian? Because you're like, you don't want to come off as, I'm not going to say, you know,
egotistical,
but, you know, they're indirectly going to say, well, listen, I thought I'm doing you a favor by tagging you and trying to promote you and help your business. And they don't understand that it's actually hurting, our business. And it's not it's like, you know, it's kind of like saying, and I brought this example up to one of my clients when, because the same situation happened. And it's like me going to an art store and I find a beautiful painting and I take that painting and it's by a famous painter and I bring it home and I get a paintbrush and I start adding stuff to it. And then I hang it back up on the wall. Do you think that artist is going to like what I did to that painting? So, you know,
right there, that's the problem, is I think a lot of these clients don't view us as artists. They view us as service providers.
Yeah. And I think that's always going to be the case. I think, but the conversation has to come up and just be like, listen, you have a personal taste of what you like. It's not what I provided you. You hired me to provide you this finished product. If you would like a different and you know, the case that you brought up, Brian, if they continue to change your work, then maybe you're just not the right fit for them. Exactly. Maybe they're looking for something different. And that's what I came across to them. You know, I have one client that really likes this HDR look. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know why you hired me, because I don't do HDR stuff. So if you want that HDR look and you want that oversaturation look, then maybe it's best that you hire a company that does that. And you know, the conversation usually comes up and it's usually just a communication thing. We're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Or, you know, I didn't do it on purpose. I just felt like this was something that I liked. And I'm like, that's great. And just like you, Brian, I'm like, just don't tag me on it. I won't get offended if you don't tag me. That's fine. If you'd like to post my product or the stuff that I provide you, then please just, you know, don't touch it, leave it the way it is, and do it. Now, you know, one of the things, Brian and Rich, is, and I think you guys can attest to this, sometimes you have some clients when they're looking at their computers, and their computers might be poor monitors. They might be not color balanced properly. Their phones, I've seen some of my clients' phones, they're not great iPhones or Android phones, and they're old devices and the colors look really off. And they feel like, oh, I thought it looked better, but that's because the monitor you're looking at it on is poorly color corrected right now. So And I think, I don't know if you've ever had this where you're sending off proofs to a client and they're like, you know, this looks really yellow. And then you look at it on your computer, you're like, what are you talking about? It's not yellow. Mm-hmm. It's totally white. And then you're like, you know, listen, why don't you just come into the office? We'll take a look at it together. And they're like, wow, that doesn't look the same on my computer. I'm like, yeah, that's because you're a monitor.
You know what I got last week? A client, after I sent an image, they said the images look too dark. Mm-hmm. I said, interesting. And then she texts me back 2 hours later and says, the brightness on my phone was turned all the way down. I'm sorry. Exactly. My mind was blown.
Exactly. And that's another one. That's another perfect example. It's like, even with monitors, right? Bring up the brightness. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
that happens all the time. And I think it's really another way to look at it. A lot of times, if you have a client that is unhappy with the images because of a certain reason, it's really important after you get your feelings hurt to just go, hey, don't go there. Let's just find out what the problem is and see if they can articulate what it is they don't like. And it's art, you know, we're dealing with art. We're dealing with subjective things. And exactly what you said, their monitor brightness could be down, the colors could be shifted. So it's really, really important. But what I liked about what you were saying, Matthew, is I think it's really important to don't say it in any way that you're pissed off. Don't say it after a couple of beers, don't say it any other way than to try and be helpful and to say, hey, I value your opinion if you like something, but please understand that, you know, I have a specific look that I like. And I think, Brian, the fact that you mentioned, you know, if you're going to post this, then, you know, don't put my name on it. But it's got to be in a way that's not insulting, because that's a really touchy one. But I think if you really think about it, if you give it a day, or if you give it a little bit of time after you're chilled out, you will be better received. And I think you'll learn from it, and then you can deal with it the next time it happens.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point, Rich. I think what you just said is when you get an email like that, or you get a message like that, is just to give it a day so that you can actually kind of soak it in, review it, look at it. Maybe there is something that's wrong. You know, listen, we're not perfect. We might make mistakes. I can give you a perfect example. I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys. And this literally just happened last week. Is I sent off some images I switched computers downstairs and I went to a PC, and I had my export settings were all changed. And I exported something, I put it back into Lightroom. Now my monitor and our system, it looked fine. We sent it to the client. The client posted it on Instagram, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, that is not my Twilight. The colors look really desaturated. Something's not right. So I reached out to the agent. He says, no, that's exactly what I got. And that's what I put out there. I'm like, well, that doesn't match what we have. Lo and behold, what did I found out was that if you export something from Photoshop, and you don't have it in the export setting as sRGB, and you have it as Adobe, your colors will change when you repost it on something else you're using on a different platform. So I totally realized once I saw it, I'm like, you know, I've seen this before. I know what happened. I went back and I changed it and I exported, resent it out, and it was fine. So in that particular case, that's a pure example of they didn't complain about it. But when I saw it before I initiated, was upset, I said, well, something's wrong here. Let me look into it. And it was just the export setting was switched, but on my computer and on our tour platform, it was fine. But for some reason, when they downloaded it off of Google Drive, it totally changed colors and it went into something else. So, I mean, that has happened. But yeah,
that's a super good tip for everyone out there, especially the newer photographers. Be sure to check. And it's always, you want to choose sRGB.
Yes.
Right, Matt?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Because, and it's worthwhile checking your settings after you watch this or listen to this podcast. Go in and check what you're doing, because that's a big deal. You know, all your work could be out there looking like something else.
Well, and you know, when you know, for all of us that hate our monthly subscription that we have to put towards Adobe, if you disconnect and you have to reconnect again into a different computer, some of those settings sometimes don't stay and you have to readjust them. So for whatever reason, it was set on Adobe. You just got to go back and make sure it's on sRGB and you're fine.
Yeah. And I think what you mentioned, Rich, you know, taking that data, just let it cool off. That's a good lesson, not only for people that are changing your work, but I think for our business in general, when you get those kind of emails, I mean, you know, when I get copyright infringements that I see, my first instinct, I got to get on these right away. And then, you know, like after that, like initial 5 minutes of anger settles in, I'm like, all right, let me take a chill pill and see what's really going on. Make sure like they really stole my image. Make sure there's no like connection where the designer gave it to them thinking they had full rights. Let me get to the bottom of it. So no matter what it is, if you have an upset client or whatever, you know, find out the details and relax a minute before you approach, because you don't want to approach the wrong way. Approach cautiously.
So one of the things that I can tell everybody, here's a good example, a learning lesson. Because you're going to get situations where you have clients that are going to take your images, you know, put filters on it and change it. What we've actually done is when we send out our images, we have kind of like a little snippet tips and disclaimer at the bottom that says, basically, please don't modify the images without authorization. If you're going to repost it on social media, we'd appreciate not putting any additional filters or modifying or changing our images without our consent. And that's kind of a blurb that goes, now listen, sometimes they're going to read it, sometimes they're not going to see it, but at least it's there. And also
so you can refer them back to it later. Yeah,
exactly. Right. You have that reference point. And then if you do have something that comes up, what you could, and you see it on Instagram or whatever, we have kind of a pre-done, I copy and paste a little blurb to say, hey, listen, thank you for posting the images. I noticed that something is different than what I originally sent you. Did something happen? Or if you changed it, you know, please let us know how we can help you to modify it, because we really want to keep a certain look to our images when we send it to you. And usually they get back with, oh, no, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I really like this look or whatever the case is. And that's like, okay, great. If you're going to do that, then please just, you know, take our tag off. Don't tag us on it and just put something else. And really it's more of a deterrent. It doesn't help them, because obviously not sharing something for us to reshare it again, let's say, it would be a bigger advantage to them for us to reshare. Now, if they post something that isn't what I gave them, I'm not going to reshare it. So from a social media platform, it's not something that's going to help them.
No, but does that thought process change for you versus a Rich and I, where you have 30 or 40 times the followers we do, if not more?
Listen, whether it's 5, 10 or 100, it doesn't matter. It's still like those 10 people that you might have, it might go to a different architect firm that might see it. And it's going to affect you either way, right?
Mm-hmm. No, great. So yeah, no, I really like that approach. And what you said, having that templated email that you can just pop in and send out to people and approach it cautiously is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And also having something on your website that they're most likely they're not going to read it. And I have it on my invoice. I have the usage rights on my every invoice I send out. And I mainly have these things there on my website so I can refer them later if they don't adhere to it. And I just go, hey, it's on my website. That's the rules. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they can value that. So, and speaking of value, I'd like to do a little word from iGUIDE. Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more. That's goiGUIDE.com. And with that, I just want to, you know, I want to say that for me, it sounds catty of me to even mention this, but it's a true thing. I don't get a lot of complaints. Now, there might be a lot of people that don't like my work or don't like me, but I don't hear it from it. So when I get somebody unhappy with something, it's really bad. I think it's worse than if you would hear it more often. You get used to that. Some people just, you know, they for whatever reason, they don't like what the pictures are. But I find that I really do have to chill out. And as you said, Brian, take a chill pill and, just try and step yourself into their position and see what they would like. And most of all, you know, I don't think it's worth losing a client for that. I'm sure you can duke it out in a civil way and make friends and come away from it, you know, with a better relationship.
You know, I think the biggest part is you're never going to please everybody, which is fine. But at the same time, I've come to terms with the fact that some people just, I'm not going to say colorblind, they just see things differently than what we would, period. And that's not their fault. They just happen to see colors in a certain way that works for them. It doesn't work for us, but it kind of boggles my mind why you would hire us based on the images and the portfolio we have to then only manipulate and modify the images from what we gave you. So,
well, they don't, I just believe that most of them, they're not doing it for any other reason than they think it looks cool.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't slight somebody for that. Now you can slight it if you've made a point that this is my work. I don't want you to do that and don't tag me, but you know, you can't, there's no accounting for people's discretions and people's judgments, you know, but that's just simple, basic business.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And we're dealing with a subjective subject, you know, photography is subjective. Some people like different things, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now that we covered that part, I think we covered that well, and I love your response, Matt. Let's go to the first part of that question. You know, we're content providers. We're providing different types of content, and we all, even all three of us sitting right here, provide different kind of content to our clients. So you provided this content. What is the best way to either educate or advise your clients, especially newbie clients who maybe are looking to get into social media or even other avenues. Mm-hmm. All right. You have these images, you have this video, you have this virtual tour. This is the best thing you can do to market it.
So that's a second point that I wanted to actually bring up. We've gotten to the point now where on our premium services, our higher end services, I've implemented that we provide them with a finished product and branding that is already on it. So I'll put their logos, their images. We'll either put a slideshow together for them or something in a Reels format that's already a finished product. And usually I can tell you that if you put their logo on it, they will not filter the photos or the video because their logo now changes. Mm-hmm. So by implementing some type of watermark on the actual image themselves, they like the branding that comes with it. They will, again, most likely not change the look of it because it changes their logo. And they also appreciate that they're getting more of a finished product with their branding to help their business. So there's an additional cost to do that for us. But I feel it's a much more effective way to control what's being reposted out there and also a way of helping the agents rebrand themselves as an incentive to say, hey, you know, this is an additional service that they provided and it didn't cost me anything and they don't have to do any work to make that happen. So I think the best format would be give them a finished product, put some branding on it with their logo or give them some type of slideshow or something. You know, one of the biggest things that obviously has been on social media is videos, right? Reels, like I've been mentioning for a long time. Putting photos into a slideshow now is actually more effective than just having photos plastered on. So depending on how you're providing your content, if you put it into a video format, they can't really filter it as much. So that's another alternative if you wanted to, but definitely watermarks, definitely logos, and then try to give them a finished product that they won't have to change.
And you're pushing people towards social media, I'm assuming, nothing else.
Do you push
people to, you know, flyers, postcards, any of that stuff,
is
that on its way out the door?
A lot of my agents still do flyers because they feel that they get calls from it. They might send out 30,000 flyers and they get one phone call and to them it worked. I know when I go to a recycling bin, all I see is nothing but all the postcards inside the recycling bin. And it's like, why are you wasting your money? But they feel that it works. And to a certain extent, I think you have to do some type of marketing. But I will tell them, and I do advise them, that if they are going to do postcards, Twilight shots especially. So for those of you that are listening, if you're doing Twilight shots, if you're printing Twilight shots on a unglossy finished paper, the images look a lot darker than what they're supposed to be. So I advise them, if you're going to post something, if you're going to print something, make sure it's on a glossy photo or a glossy print paper. That way that doesn't look so dark because, you know, newspaper, especially on a newspaper, it looks really dark when you do a Twilight. So I really tell them, you know, if you're going to do that, make sure it's glossy. Anything else you could pretty much post outside pictures, it's fine. But any of the Twilight shots, you know, it's kind of an eye opener for them too. They didn't realize it until they saw it. And it only came to my attention because someone called me and said, hey, listen, you know, I just did an ad and it looks really dark. It's not really what you sent me. And on the print that you sent me looks different. I'm like, yeah, that's because it's on a newspaper material. So it doesn't look the same.
And it's the same thing from my experience. I get a lot of people, when I post Twilight photos on Facebook, I get a lot of people say they're just so dark. Well, they're not really dark to me, but they look dark on Facebook. So yeah, it's also the same kind of a thing. And I've actually been bumping up the exposure. A lot of my agents like darker Twilights, but I've been bumping up the exposure a little bit for social media reasons, and it seems to come out better. But again, you know, it's hard. You don't have one, you don't have one kind of a standardization, you know, it's just impossible. So you've got to just pick your fights and just kind of pick out what works best.
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know Matt, of the three of us, or probably not even the three of us, out of probably the thousands of us in the real estate photography industry, you're probably the Instagram guy. Do you run other agents' accounts for them? Do you help them? Or is everything like, here's your content, you go do it?
Yeah, we've actually implemented the last year now, kind of hidden quiet social media management program that we run for clients. So we really only do it with our higher end clients, and we only work on six of them at a time. And basically we take care of all the posting for them three times a week. It's a monthly, you have to sign up for at least 6 months. We'll post your videos, we'll post the content, we'll go back and do Throwback Thursdays, or, you know, whatever the case is. So they don't have to worry about any of it, and we take care of it all. A lot of these busy agents don't have the time for it, or they don't have the knowledge on how to do it effectively. And I think one of the thing that, you know, made me kind of come to it is I just had some agents ask me, hey, listen, can you just do it for me? And I'm like, yeah, we'll do it at a cost, obviously. So I try to look at myself now as more of a real estate media company more than a real estate photography company. And I've been saying this for years now. If you're just going to stick around and be a real estate photographer, you shoot yourself in the foot, because you're now becoming a media company with social media. So you need to be able to kind of, you know, pivot and start adding some different services if it's in the real estate world. If you're doing interior design or, you know, beautiful Rolex and Gucci shoots like Brian is, it's not as important, right?
Hey, you're doing some Gucci too now.
Yeah, just one, because you can't come to Canada, but
hey,
I want to do Gucci. No, well, I want to do Rolex. I want a watch.
I've shot 48 stores and I have no watch. So,
well, they're going to give it to you for Christmas. I promise you, it's in the mail.
Barter service, Brian.
But what, you know, I think maybe we should have a webinar about this. You know, how to provide, be a one-stop shop for all their marketing and their social media. I mean, do you do printing? Can you arrange for people? Do you arrange for all the flyers and everything?
Yeah, we are basically a one call, you do it all media company. You hire us for doing the photos and the video. We'll do the social media, and then from there, we'll actually design your portfolio, your flyers,
logo,
or the booklets.
Flyers,
we have an in-house designer that takes care of all that. And then we have two printing companies that we work with so that we can get their books, postcards, just listed cards, all that stuff put out. Is it for everybody? Would I say, if you're into the real estate world, do you want to do it? It's a lot of work being able to kind of, you know, it's kind of that old thing, you know, focus on something that you're really good at and that's it, which is great. But that's why we hire individual people at what they're good at to take care. I don't do anything with print. I don't do anything with design. That's not where my forte is. We have somebody that does that for us. That's what they're specialized in. That's what we hire them for. But again, it's just, you have to kind of decide what you want to provide for your business and what's going to be helpful. For me, it kind of came up to, I want people to call us for, it's like, you know, floor plans, right? Before Matterport and iGuide was around, you'd have to call somebody else to do your floor plans. And now it's like, why do you have to allow someone else to come in and just do floor plans when you can offer it all? And it's so much better for agents. They love being able to just call one company to take care of everything. You can charge more of a premium, they'll pay for it. And again, it's one call, you do it all service. Agents love that.
And it's even more so because, you know, most of us as real estate photographers offer the actual services, photo, video, Matterport or iGuide, floor plans, whatever it is. But it's even those extra services that once you provide that content, the agents are still going somewhere else to get the prints made, or somebody somewhere else to help them with social if they're not keen. You know, one of my I don't have many real residential agents currently because I don't really do it anymore. I have two agents and they're all in my local town. Mm-hmm. And I know he literally just hired a social media company to handle social media. And, you know, if I was really pushing for residential real estate, I would say, hey, let me handle it for you. Or let me figure out a way how, or let me subcontract it out. So at least everything is under my umbrella. Yeah. But obviously, you know, you guys know that's not a route I'm going with my career. So I didn't go there. But yeah, you know, they are going to other parties at that point to get that work done. If you're in a situation where you can not only provide that content, but also provide those additional services that they're going somewhere else for at that point, whether it's design work, whether it's you know, print work, social media work, mm-hmm. put it all under your roof. You know, they're paying somebody to do it. Why not pay you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a key to their back door. So you just go into their accounts and.
You're talking about the social media accounts? Yeah. Yeah, right. We actually have. So what happens is, for their business accounts, we have access with the passwords. They can access it. We can access it. We just don't have access to their personal accounts. And I tell them, I don't want that. I just want what is your business account. Mm-hmm. So we both have access to it. We sometimes will draft something and get it ready and we'll save it as a draft. They can go then and then from there repost it if they want. Most of the time it's just, we handle it all for them. They'll give us a call and say, hey, listen, I'm thinking about posting something about kitchens or something that I sold last year or whatever the case is. So we go through all of it. Like I said, we do it 3 times a week. We have it kind of pre-structured and planned. And then it's just a matter of the more, like I was saying to you guys, you know, was it 2 years ago, almost when I came on here, you try to want to post 3 to 5 times a day, right? So for these agents, allowing us to constantly be posting stuff for them is helping them grow their accounts.
Does that still hold true? 3 to 5 times a day?
I've said this, I think, for the last year, right? Reels, videos. Yeah. It's been the biggest thing. You've seen a lot.
Well, for you, I mean, you already had a shit ton of followers and you probably doubled that at this point in just the last year, if not more.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
all on Reels.
We, you know, that one reel that went off, that was like 14.9 million, just went crazy. We had a few of them at 3 or 4 million, and a lot of other accounts that we work with, an interior design firm that we did a video for them on something they just finished. And they started off with like 30,000. And they had a whole bunch of reels go viral and they're up to like 127 or 137,000 followers in a matter of 3 months. And their reels are getting reshared and reshared and reshared, and it's just blowing them up.
Work is getting everywhere.
Yeah. And again, the reason why Instagram has done that is because they really want to get their market share back from what they lost to TikTok. So if you're posting reels and you're posting videos, Instagram is going to favor and really expose your account a lot more. And one of the things that's starting to make a little bit of a twist now for those of you that are listening in on reels, like we're kind of a little off subject here, but it kind of relates to helping agents post properly, would be make it an informative video. So I think I've shared this with you before, right? Brian, where I was saying like, take us behind the scenes on how the process is done and then show the finished product. Those videos are being a lot more popular right now than actually just posting finished product. They want to see the process or they want the story that's behind it. So, you know, if an agent's like, well, you know, I want to post this house and you're like, okay, let me take care of it. Maybe show a little bit of the what's been brought up to it. So it's empty. Then they got it staged. Then they got it finished. And then you create a video out of 4 or 5 images. That is, here you go. It's a finished product. Guess what? They're not going to filter it. They're not going to touch it. They're just going to say, thank you very much. And just post it.
Mm-hmm. Cool stuff. A lot of work to do.
Well, again, listen, if you want to stay focused, and there's, again, nothing wrong with staying in your niche of what you want to do, which is strict photography. It's a lot less stressful running a media company. You know, obviously it's amount of business that you want to take and handle. There's some days that I'm just like, you know, I don't want to do any more video because it's just so much work. But I know the realistic point is you're not going to make it as much money if you do that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's, like you said, that's what the bottom line is. That's what it boils down to answer James' question in its most simplest form is that depends on where you want to be with your business, as far as what you're advising your clients to do with the images.
Exactly.
You know, and if you want to grow your business, just say, hey, let me handle it for you. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Or hire somebody that can handle it for your company.
Sure. Yeah.
That's your other option.
That's you know, the basic basis of scaling up, I guess, is hire people that can do what you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So cool. And so you're offering all these services now, video. What else do you do? Drone, Matterport, you know, Twilights is your specialty and what you've kind of become known for up there.
Yeah. In terms of marketing a property, we pretty much take care of everything except for the sale sign that goes on the property. We don't take care of that. That's still done by somebody else. And we're not, no, I don't even want to get into that because
you don't want to start digging holes in the front lawn.
Yeah. I'm bringing a shovel to start popping in some posts, but
you know, it's funny because I was talking to my agent and I'm going to go off topic again. And he, you know, he was telling me the company he uses to put his signs up and these people do like 40, 50 signs a day. And yeah. I don't know what they charge, 75, $100 a sign. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
It's insane. And apparently they have a warehouse with all their contracted agents and they just store signs.
Yep. And you have colored posts too now, right? You can have a white post, a red post, a blue post, a black post, whatever it is. And they go out and that's all they do.
They just dig holes all day.
Now, dig, you know, the other thing that actually came up last year was putting out the directional signs
for like open houses, you mean, or
open just... houses. Yeah. So you literally, you know, the agent would have to drive around and put all those directional signs out. So there was a company that started actually trying to come around to actually start doing directional signs and just take care of that. And then you have to go back and collect them and then you just hold on to them. And then you get a phone call. Hey, listen, next week I have an open house, go put it out in this area. And then you have to go around and do it again. That individually, that alone could be someone's business.
Yeah, and you could then, they could go in the backyard and pick up the dog poop. Yeah. It'd be like this one-stop service for signs and poop.
Yeah, hey, Rich,
I'm going to start it.
Don't,
I'm a big thinker.
Do you know there's a company that does that, Rich?
Of course I do. I've heard it's shitty work though.
It smells, stinks. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it stinks. God, how'd you like to do that for a living?
I think the moral of the story is, you know, if anybody in America or Canada wants to,
it's the moral.
if you're in Canada or in the US and you have the opportunity to run your own business and make a living, you could do it.
I just hire somebody else to do it and you're taking the money in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. No, but I think that the moral of this whole story to me is, and it's a great comeback to Brian, the what's your assistant's name?
James.
James. I think that do everything you can to give no reason for your client to go to anybody else to get a service that you could provide. And then really examine it and see what it's worth to you. And then hopefully your clientele will get better and better and they'll value your time and pay you for it.
And learn from it too, right, Rich? Like sometimes you might get somebody who gives you a feedback or comment and it'd be like, you know what? Hey, maybe I could modify the service or modify this and learn from it and become either a better provider, service provider, or a better photographer, whatever the case is. Right. So, listen, we're always learning every day. And sometimes negative feedback, as much as it might hurt our egos, is a way to learn and grow.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well said. Well, James, I want to thank you for your question. It was a good one to end the season with. And with that, let me give our final word from PhotoUp. Are you sick of having multiple accounts, logins, and bills from all your different service providers? With PhotoUp, the industry's top-rated photo editing company, you have everything you need in one place. From photo editing and video editing to virtual staging and property websites, they've got real estate photographers covered. They even have dedicated editors starting at $7 an hour. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces for a special discount on your first full month of editing and access to their real estate marketing tools. Mention this podcast when you sign up to receive 10 free credits to use on any PhotoUp services. That's photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link on our Shooting Spaces podcast website. So as I mentioned with that, Matt, thanks for coming on for our last show of the season. Much appreciated. Nice. It's always fun. I don't remember the last time you were on with us, but I know, I think it's been at least once or twice.
The Twilight webinar that we did.
That was the last thing we did with you. Wow. That was almost 2 years ago already.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was actually a fun one. So if anyone wants to see or hear or read about that or purchase that, learn.shootingspaces.net, we did a Twilight, I think it was Mastering Twilight Real Estate, Twilight Photography, or and it was with both of you, Rich and Matt, and you each went over your method because you have a different method, Rich with your single exposures and Matt with your light pops all over. And it was cool to see your different methods. And I know a lot of people took a lot out of that. We refer back to that all the time, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, it's different ways to do things, you know, and it's just what works best for you. And you certainly, one thing, Matthew, I will say is when I see a picture, I know it's yours, you know, except when it looks orange because of a filter. Yeah, unfiltered. Yeah. That looks like Matthew's, but it's orange. Okay. No, but thank you. You know, as a friend of the show, we know that we could always call upon you to have in your specific genres that you specialize in. You're the top of the top, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I love talking to you guys. I love, you know, Rich, you're always full of information and enthusiasm.
Energy.
Whether you want it or not. Yeah. And I want, before we leave, I want to have you put out your social media pages and how do people see your work? Because I think a lot of people are going to be sparked. And I think there's a business there. Teach real estate photographers how to do exactly what you're talking about. But
thank you. I mean, you can find me on Instagram at Stallone Media. We're also on TikTok under Stallone Media and on YouTube under Stallone Media Tours, which is where all of our videos of our homes and stuff that we're getting posted on there. So yeah, we can find us pretty much on any of those platforms. And I love to answer questions. Feel free to DM me. You know, I get a lot of questions sometimes, and I love being able to help people and give them some information.
You know what I love in 2021 when when I say to you, you know, plug your stuff, where can people find you? You don't even mention your website. It's not even a thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's crazy, right? Who cares? Just here's my social platforms. That's it.
It's, you know, funny you just said that, because I literally just the other day, someone was saying, you know, can I get your website? And they're like, website, what's that? And it's like, no, my Instagram is this, or my TikTok's that. It's like, what? So true.
Yeah.
Instagram is actually a really good way. I've gotten a lot of work lately out of just cold calling from people calling me up cold off of Instagram. So it's worth the time.
Rich, I remember we had a conversation about this, well, it was like probably 2 years ago, and you were like, you know, you're not getting much work off of Instagram. I'm like, just keep posting stuff. It will come.
It will.
So it's great.
it's good. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not doing 3 to 5 posts a day. I do believe in what you say, but it's just too much work for me. But I do try and post fairly regularly. And, you know, you just get some good stuff. I am getting a lot of stuff, though, on the ones that get a lot of hits, getting a lot of, I helped my friend George and he made $200,000. How do you stop that? How do you stop that, man?
So there's actually, you know what?
I was going to say, Matt, give us a tip. Probably what you're talking about. I've also noticed over the last month, an insane amount of Autobot comments promoted here on this account. And only in the last month or two, it's really been like,
it's been pretty painful. But just to answer your question, to leave this off with everybody, and we'll say probably goodnight, but there is a way to go onto your Instagram account and filter out comments on what can be put onto your comments. So if you go into Instagram, you go through your settings, go to your profile, there's in the settings, you can actually filter out certain words. So for example, if you know, you don't want anybody swearing on your comments, you can actually put all the swear words that you want to avoid and it will never be posted. So I was getting a lot of stuff about cryptocurrency. Yeah. So I went in and I put in the filter and I put anything with crypto, Bitcoin, Forex, any of that stuff that would always pop up, it all got filtered out.
Yeah, I got to do
that. Does that only work if you have a business page?
I'm on a creator account, so I'm assuming it should work pretty much on business or creator. I'm not sure about the other ones, but there is the feature to actually filter out certain words.
Yeah, I got to do that because all those comments promoted on here and promoted on there.
Yeah. So if you just put in the filter promote, it will come off.
It'll stop.
Yeah.
Cool. So as we sign off, I want to once again thank all our sponsors for joining us back here again this past year. HD Photo Hub, iGUIDE. I know you're a big iGUIDE guy. Matt, you got me on iGUIDE.
How are you liking it, by the way? Before you liking it?
I love it. I mean,
is it great?
Do you have the new
you're
one?
You're like in and out now.
Do you have the new one, the Planix?
Yeah.
How unbelievable is that system? I mean, I didn't have the old system, so I don't have what to compare it to.
We've cut our shooting time down in half.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, I shot a commercial space last week. It was probably about 6,000 square feet. It was a big empty white box space, 12 minutes in and out.
Beautiful.
And 5 minutes processing.
Right. Exactly.
5 minutes. It's so insane.
Without naming the other company, but how much time did you save?
A significant amount. The biggest issue is, and I've said this many times with the other company, is that I'm not shooting houses. Houses are very easy to do with the Matterport. Yeah. I'm shooting big, empty white box spaces, and the alignment ends up being a disaster. The cool thing about the iGUIDE is even if the alignment doesn't go properly, in a minute, not even a minute, in 10 seconds, I can manually align it and you're good to go. Yeah. You don't have that option with the Matterport. So when I have, which most people who do residential don't have this issue. So they probably don't comprehend it or it's not an issue for them. But when you're doing these big spaces, when I'm shooting, you know, an office space where there's rows and rows and rows of cubicles, the Matterport doesn't know if I'm in row one or I'm in row five, it all looks the same. Right. And just the alignment is just, it's a disaster. So
it's great. Anyway. I'm happy to hear that you're doing well with it. It's great. I remember you calling me on it and I was like, you're going to love it, Brian, trust me, you'll love it.
Yeah. So again, thanks HD Photo Hub. Thanks iGUIDE. Thanks Photo Up for coming back with us for another season. Hopefully we'll be back with them again next year or not next year, but when we come back on. That's it. Thank you all for listening, I guess, for the last 12 episodes as we take a break. And I don't know when exactly we're going to come back, but I figure it's going to be around PFRE time or holiday time, given, you know, November, December time, because we usually take, 3 months on, 3 months off, Rich. So,
yeah. And again, yeah, I want to thank all the people out there. It's been great. We're going
everyone, not even our listeners, years. Just everyone out there.
Everyone in the world, thank you so much. Even the people, never the little people. But we're really enjoying it. And if you got some ideas, let us know. If you've got you've got a question, we'd love the ask the guys. And as we say, we don't always get a professional in that subject. But today we had Matthew Stallone on, who's the top in the field in what he does. And, that's what we try and do here at Shooting Spaces. We try to, cover the questions, cover your, give you entertainment. And I think we're doing a good job. So let us know.
Well, Rich, next season, Rich, we're going to be hitting 150, episode 150 next season. So we got to make it a big one.
Wow. Can't believe it. Okay.
We got to get some ideas swirling for a big, Shooting Spaces bash.
Yeah. Shooting Spaces bash. We'll do a virtual party. We'll like get a that. Party Sounds hat good. On Matthew Stallone. We'll get everybody to wear little party hats, tassels. We'll have, dancing girl. No, anyway. Listen, thank you so much for checking out our podcast and hope you learned something. Hope you enjoyed it. And until the next time we meet virtually, this is Rich saying go shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.